Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of JTalk Extra Time. I'm John Steele, flying solo again for this episode, but hopefully Stuart and I will be back together to chat about the latest J-League, J2 and J3 goings on soon enough. In this mini pod, I'm going to be talking about the events from J2 in midweek, round 36, and then after a short break, I'll be back to round up the latest happenings in J3 as well. Without further ado, let's talk about J2. The round 36 slate took place on Wednesday night. For the second match day in a row, only one of the top three sides managed to win. It was the leaders Tokushima, who beat Machida Zelvia 3-0 at home. This game was goalless at half-time, but Machida's midfielder Kaina Yoshio was sent off in stoppage time at the end of the first half after picking up two yellow cards. The first one, a late tackle in about the 10th minute, seemed justified, but his second yellow card was very harsh, innocuous, possibly not even a foul when he came together with a Tokushima player on the halfway line. So I think the Machida boss, Ranko Popovic, was not very impressed with that decision. I don't think anybody of a Machida persuasion would be. After the break, it was difficult for Machida. You know, it's always going to be hard to hold out against the first place team with a man down. And Takaru Kishimoto headed Tokushima in front early on in the second half. Just 4 minutes later, Kazuki Nishiya scored a superb long-range second for them. Late on, Atsushi Kawata added a third goal with a low drive from the edge of the box. So yes, in the end, it was a comfortable 3-0 win for Tokushima. Away from the pitch, we should mention there's lots of speculation at the moment that the Tokushima boss, their Spanish manager Ricardo Rodriguez, is going to be the new manager at Uroa Reds in J1 next season. That's not been officially confirmed yet, although we do know Uroa will be looking for a new manager for 2021. I think the timing's pretty unhelpful, you know, with Tokushima top of the table with six games left to play. Maybe Stuart and I can have a more in-depth discussion about the timing of these things, whether clubs could handle this kind of thing a bit better. I mean, it's not Uroa haven't officially announced that they're chasing Ricardo Rodriguez, but perhaps this kind of thing could be conducted in-house a bit better when the regular season's actually happening. But anyway, yeah, for the time being, and probably for the rest of this season, Ricardo Rodriguez is the Tokushima manager, and they're top of the table after beating Machida 3-0. The second place team, Avispa Fukuoka, drew 1-1 away at Tokyo Verdy in midweek. This game was played at the cozy soccer-specific Nishigaoka Stadium in Tokyo. Most of the action came in a mad five-minute spell midway through the second half. First of all, Junki Koike set up Ryoya Yamashita to give Verdy the lead with his third goal in three games. But less than 60 seconds later, Fukuoka were level thanks to a Verdy own goal when the left-back Takuki Fukumura tried to clear the ball but kicked it against Koki Morita on the edge of the six-yard box, and it ended up going over the line. It's pretty funny, really, if you watch the replay, that there are, I think, five Verdy players and their goalkeeper in their six-yard box. No attacking players, no Fukuoka players, but still they somehow managed to score an own goal. Yes, and Fukuoka nearly went in front shortly after that. Daya Tono went clean through and rattled the outside of the post for the visitors, but it finished 1-1. The third place team, Nagasaki, missed a great chance really to gain ground on Fukuoka because they also only drew 1-1. This was at home against Matsumoto. Matsumoto had a great chance to go in front when Jael pounced on a poor back pass from Takumi Nagara. It took a good save from the Nagasaki keeper Kenta Tokushige to keep him out. Nagasaki did take the lead though before half time when Keiji Tamada scored with a curling shot from the edge of the penalty area. I'm not sure what the Matsumoto goalkeeper Tomohiko Maruyama was doing. He seemed to lose his bearings. He didn't react at all to the ball going into the corner from Tamada. But it was 1-0 at the break. And Nagasaki, looked like they'd done enough to win the game. But there was a sting in the tail in the fifth minute of stoppage time. Koki Tsukagawa headed in a free kick from Serginho for a stunning equaliser, really, for the visitors. Even with that goal coming in the 95th minute, Nagasaki still fashioned another chance to win it right at the end. But Nagara just couldn't get over the ball and ended up firing over the bar from close range. So that game, finished 1-1. In the end, A recap on the top three then, with six games left of this pretty chaotic J2 season. Tokushima in first place on 74 points. Behind them it's Fukuoka in second on 70. Nagasaki are in third on 67 points. And as mentioned before, there's now a big gap between the top three and the rest of the field. So I think we're looking at two of these sides, being the promoted teams up to J1 this year. Which two? Yes, it's still too early to say. I think Tokushima looking good at the moment. To round up some of the action from other games on Wednesday night, Montedio Yamagata thumped a pretty tired looking Kanazawa team 4-0 at Ende Soft Stadium. There was a horrible mistake from the Kanazawa goalkeeper Ryo Ishii for the third goal, which was scored by Vinicius Araujo, who's still banging form. It's worth checking out on the highlights, but probably not if you're of a Kanazawa persuasion. It's not good viewing. There was another big home win at Iwata, where Jubilo Iwata cruised to a 3-0 win against Ryukyu. Bad defending is going to be a theme for the rest of this roundup, I'm afraid. Ryukyu's defending on all three goals pretty ropey, especially the first one where the goalkeeper was caught making a bad decision in no man's land. But yes, Iwata beating Ryukyu 3-0. Kyoto and Kofu drew 1-1 at the Sanga Stadium. Rafael put Kofu in front, and then it's pretty inevitable, really. Peter Utaka scoring the 22nd goal of a very prolific season for him, level things up for Kyoto. He followed up a rebound after his own shot had hit the post. So Kyoto and Kofu finished 1-1. Now, Ehime pulled off a stunning 3-0 win away at Niigata in what I suppose we could call an orange derby, given that's the colour both teams prefer to play in. So Ehime winning 3-0 at Niigata. Shion Niwa scored a brace for the lowly visitors. His first goal was a superbly taken volley, which is well worth checking out online, well worth checking out the highlights if you haven't seen it. And yes, the third goal was a cross, really, from Yoichi Naganuma that just evaded everybody and crept in at the far post. So an absolutely superb away win for Ehime. I don't think anybody saw that coming. In other games, it was a real game of two halves at Kei's Denki Stadium in Ibaraki. It finished Mito 2, Kitakyushu 2. Mito were 2-0 up inside 14 minutes here. There was a deflected free kick from Kazuma Yamaguchi, and then a well-controlled volley from the edge of the penalty area from Yuto Hiratsuka. But in the second half, Kitakyushu pulled one back through a Soya Fujiwara's header at the far post, and then they equalised 8 minutes from full-time thanks to a goal from Ryo Sato, which really this goal was all about a brilliant through ball from Takaki Harigaya, who played Sato in. So yeah, that game finished 2-2 and was exciting stuff. Jeff Chiba won on the road 2-1 away at Yamaguchi thanks to a brace from their Brazilian striker Kleber. The second goal scored by Kleber was not very impressive defending from Yamaguchi. Their goalkeeper Daisuke Yoshimitsu slipped, his standing foot gave way when he was trying to clear the ball out of his hands. So his goal kick went wrong, or his clearance, I should say, went wrong. The ball was quickly returned with interest, first by Andrew Kumagai, the Jeff captain, and then Taishi Taguchi, who played in Kleber for the critical second goal, really. Yamaguchi had equalised earlier with a thumping strike from the edge of the box from their Brazilian forward, Yuri. But Jeff, 1-2-1. Transfer speculation this week is that Kleber, the Brazilian striker at Jeff, is going to be joining Yokohama FC for next season. I've only seen that rumoured, that's a possibility. He might be moving into Kanagawa from Chiba next season. But Jeff won that 1-2-1 away at Yamaguchi on Wednesday night. There was a thrilling game at the City Light Stadium. Tochigi ended up winning 3-2 away at Okayama. The home side were in front at half time though, after a great strike from Satoki Uejo. And all of the rest of the goals came in the last 30 minutes of this game. Kotaro Arima levelled for Tochigi, but Shintaru Shimizu headed Okayama back into the lead. But just 3 minutes after that Shintaro Shimizu goal, Tochigi's captain, let's be honest, one of Stu's boyfriends, I suppose, one of Stu's favourite players, Masaya Tashiro, headed in a corner from Takehiro Akimoto. That made it 2-2. And then with just 3 minutes left on the clock, the veteran striker, Kisho Yano, took advantage of some pretty poor Okayama defending to carry the ball most of the Okayama half and then curl in a winner for Tochigi. So a seesaw game, exciting match, and in the end Tochigi won 3-2 against Okayama. The last game we'll talk about from Wednesday is the Omiya one. They won 2-1 away at Gunma, thanks to goals from Masahito Ono and Shinsuke Kikuchi. Tomoyuki Shiraishi pulled a goal back for Gunma with about 12 minutes left, but Omiya hold on and were able to win 2-1. So yeah, hopefully that was a pretty good and quick review of the midweek J2 round. Looking ahead to the weekend, I'll just mention the key fixtures from round 37. Coming up this Saturday and Sunday. The big game on Saturday is Nagasaki against Niigata, third place against sixth place. I think Nagasaki now, really needing those points to put pressure on Fukuoka and Tokushima above them in the table. The other two teams in the promotion race are playing on Sunday, November 29th. So Tokushima travel to Kanazawa, that's 16th place hosting first. Kanazawa on a run of three straight defeats, not playing very well, if the evidence from their game on Wednesday is anything to go by. So you'd assume Tokushima would have enough to win that one, but you never know in the J-League, of course. And yes, the second place team, Fukuoka, host Omiya on Sunday. So that's second place hosting 13th. And again, the form book says that it'll be a win for Fukuoka, but you never can tell. Okay, I'm going to take a short break now and hopefully be back soon. And we'll talk about the latest state of play in J3.